Good morning and welcome. Episode 75 of Kicking It with Danny and Donnie. We were just talking about it. Danny and Donnie rolls off the tongue better than Donnie and Danny. So it is, again, I'll say it one more time because I haven't said it enough. Danny and Donnie. But our good friend Danny, who I'm looking at right now on Zoom, Danny's got to get some work done. What is it, Wednesday? Please tell us because you're making me laugh.
Yeah, I was just telling Donnie off air how, like, there's not many things in this world that really make me, like, scared. Like, one of them is, you know, I got to struggle with my fear of failure. You know, I got to be one of those people. And, you know, if you're scared of failure, you're going to always live in a bubble and you're not going to take risks. You're not going to take chances. But above all fear is the fear of the dentist. And I'll be honest, my dentist is really nice. But yesterday, I had to get two little fillings, you know, like, you know, probably just too much kombucha. It's like the acidity's burning away the enamel.
Too much kombucha.
I just had to have two little ones, and it didn't hurt that bad, right? But the last time I had a real filling, it was like the worst experience I ever had. For like an hour, I'm squirming. I realize I have an extra nerve in my mouth. So like the pain is
what?
Just appreciated because I can't. It doesn't numb as fast. Like for normal people, Novocaine, Lidocaine, Articaine, whatever those canes that you use.
Hold on, pause. You have an extra nerve in your mouth?
Yes.
How was this discovered? Was this when you were getting a filling?
Yes. So they realized, okay, the Novocaine must not be setting in as fast. There might be something wrong. And they realize I have another nerve in my mouth. So now they have to numb even more. And now I'm petrified from my filling on Wednesday. Like crippled with fear, guys. I'll be honest with you. It's going to be in my head until it happens. I'm probably going to come on the next podcast afterwards and tell you guys the whole thing, another intro of how bad it was and how I was crying and grabbing the dentist's arm. It's spectacular, my fear of the dentist. So weird. So interesting we start with this, but man, it is it's a crippling fear, I gotta be honest.
I never knew this about you. This is brand new information. So wow. I'm sorry, man. I don't mean to laugh, but just the way you said, there's not anything I fear more than the dentist.
But to
I
be
look
honest,
at you, I look at Danny Belcito and I'm like, there's no way that I thought this guy would be afraid of the dentist.
Right. You'd think that, right? Maybe. I mean, for those who know me, They would never assume that, but it is the absolute truth. And they told me yesterday, I asked them, I said, what might be causing it? And they said, oh, maybe the acidity in the drinks that you have. So I told them to look up Zevia and kombucha, which are my two favorite drinks. Both very healthy for you, both very low in calories, both very high on the acidity level of pH. So they're like, maybe you need to stop drinking that. And I said, maybe I need to get a new dentist because there's no way I'm not drinking Zevia and kombucha anymore. So it looks like I'm going to have to buy one of those straws and just put it in the back of my throat and just not let it touch my teeth. But yeah, I'd rather have cavities every year than stop drinking kombucha. So it's looking like that fear is never going to go away.
Well, you know what? That's just the name of the game. You got to live with it. But you gave me a perfect segue, believe it or not. I'm going to pull this one out of a hat. I think the Hawks need to do a team visit to the dentist because they got a couple of teeth knocked out last night. Oh. Ha ha ha. There you go. The Bucks are 3-2 series leaders after, what was it, Thursday night. That's right. Today's Friday. Happy Friday. Thursday night's game 5 in Milwaukee. And I never thought I'd say this, Danny. I never thought I'd say this. It was a career high from Brook Lopez that is the reason we got this game done. Not to take away from Middleton's 26, a playoff career high 22 for Bobby Portis, who I love, absolutely love, and a 25-13 outing from Jrue Holiday, but 33 points from Brook Lopez, 14 of 18 from the field, 5 of 7 from the line. I can't even express to you how nice it was to see that last night because I saw your tweet. Hawks without Trey, Bucks without Giannis, this sucks. And I laughed. And that's immediately when I texted you, hey, pod tomorrow morning because I wanted to dismantle this. I thought it was great. On the contrary, I thought it was amazing. You take away the two biggest stars and you say, okay, in one sense, if this was a regular season game, I probably would not have even watched. Unless I was writing a story for it or I was recapping it, I wouldn't have watched. Let's be honest. But given the stakes, even if this was a first round series, I think it's interesting. It's a pivotal point in the year, especially now. You're in literally July 1st yesterday. You're in the Eastern Conference Finals. Both stars are out who, for a lot of these games, the supporting casts could pretty much go rogue and the Stars could pull these games, you know, out of their hat and just do whatever they want. You take away those two Stars and say, okay, here you go. Roll the ball out. Give me your best five. I'll take my best five. And the Bucks looked so good last night. It looked amazing. They shot only 9 of 29 from three, which is uncharacteristic of them. But it was just the defense. It was the defense. The defense looked great. It was stifling at some points. They did allow Atlanta to be pretty much roaming free on the perimeter. But it was inside, too. They got all that they wanted in the paint. And that's what I was saying about Giannis. Don't fix what's not broken. And that's what the Bucks do. Don't stop attacking just to try and put up threes. If you're this good in the paint, why go away from it? So the Bucks are a win away from the NBA Finals. I'm debating if we win Game 6 or Game 7, you know, if it goes to a Game 7. Do I buy an Eastern Conference champion shirt for some merchandise, or do I wait and see if we win the NBA Finals? That's if Giannis is healthy, which, by the way, we avoided the emergency pod on Wednesday. If Giannis would have had a more serious injury, Danny and I would have hopped on and probably talked. I probably would have talked for 45 minutes. But luckily, he, of course, has the hyperextension, which is not great. But in terms of, you know, comparing it to what it could have been, he's not, you know, with any structural damage in that knee. He is probable, I believe, for game six, maybe questionable. But all that to be said, Danny, your biggest takeaway from last night's win for Milwaukee? Go.
Yeah, my biggest takeaway from them is I love the ball movement. Like, for me, that's one of the things that I feel sometimes Giannis can take away from this team, is the fact that he'll want to be a little more ball dominant, not even ball dominant, like holding the ball, but he'll just want to get his numbers. He'll want to attack. And sometimes the fluidity of their offense is lacking. Last night, yeah, I did tweet that, I'll be honest, and that's how I felt. And not even this sucks in terms of the game sucks, because a game five in a conference finals is never going to suck. I mean, everybody could be out. It's never going to suck. But the problem is you don't want to see that as a fan. You want to see the best of both teams. You don't want to see teams like the New York Football Giants limping into the playoffs and finding a way to get to the championship and then beating the clearly better team. Like, I, as a fan, don't want to see that. I'm sorry. I know there are people who want to see the upset. And there's people who want to see guys knock it out, drag it out, win in the ugliest way. I don't want that. If I wanted that, I'd go watch some high school basketball near my house. I don't need to watch that. I'm watching the pros. I want to watch the best of the best. But the way Milwaukee shared the ball, I mean, just going down their stats, Chris Middleton, 20 shots, Bobby Portis, 20 shots, Drew Holiday, 20 shots, Brooke Lopez, 18 shots with a team-high 14 made baskets. Not only is that impressive, but the fact that Brooke Lopez and Bobby Portis combined 23 for 38, so over 50%, those are your big boys, those are your burly guys in the middle. Brooke is obviously a spread center who can shoot from the outside. But that, Donnie, before the series started, I told you I thought Bobby Portis would be a big part of this series. I told you I thought his physicality would be something that could maybe stymie John Collins' effectiveness, maybe his defense, take away some energy, put some heat on Capella, guys like that. And that's what's happening. I think they're starting to wear down Atlanta. I think a lot of that win in game four for the Hawks was a lot of just their heart being shown. Trae Young motivating them, being on the outside. They just want to win on their home court. I understand all that. But you saw the exact same thing from the Bucks, right? What you always want to see from a championship team is punching back. When somebody punches you in the mouth, you got to punch back. I've seen way too many teams, played on too many teams, that when they get hit in the mouth the first time, they resist, they retreat, they surrender. That's not what the Bucks did. The Bucks said, you know what? We're going to give all of our four best players now 20 shots each, and we're going to see what happens. Here's my problem, though. When I see a game like that, when Chris Middleton's playing 45 minutes, which is very high for Chris Middleton on an average night-to-night basis, I'm seeing Brooke Lopez play that well. I worry, can they keep that up long-term? And that's where, when you look at a team that, if they win, obviously, game six, I'm assuming that they will. I'm sure we'll get into that prediction here soon, but I'm assuming they'll win game six, and they'll go face the team that we'll talk about later in this podcast in the NBA Finals. That team shows up damn near every single night. They have one off night every six. And five out of six, they look great across the board. Everybody does the right thing. Defense, Chris Paul shares the ball. He gets his points. Booker, you got to be a little bit more consistent if you're Milwaukee. I think that's what might get them hurt in the finals. They're going to get through this series. That's fine. But if you don't have Giannis for a few more games, especially at the beginning of the finals, you hope he'll be back, obviously. But if you don't have him, we know, Donnie, it only takes a few minutes for Phoenix to get hot and put a 10-12 point gap in between there. We saw what they did with the Lakers. If they were not able to do that against the Lakers, they would have lost that series. So that's where Milwaukee, like you said, defense, check, they've got it. Bigs, check, they've got it. A point guard who can pass the ball well and play good defense, boom, they got it. They had no missing pieces, even without Giannis on the court. But it can't be everybody on shooting 50% and then the next night shooting 33%. And that's what I fear in game six. I feel like they could fall off Atlanta. But the thing is, I watch Atlanta. Like I said earlier in this, you know, soliloquy I'm having now, they're wearing down the Hawks. You could see it at the end of that game. The Hawks just could not get within 10 to 12 points. I kept checking the score. I kept flipping back and forth from tennis and that and other stuff, flipping back and forth. And it's like every time, 10-point lead, 10-point lead, 11-point lead. And credit to the Bucks. I mean, credit to the Bucks for maintaining that lead with defense. But in my opinion, the Hawks look worn down. Herder shooting 3 for 12. That shows that he's starting to play on some tired legs. Capella playing 20 minutes. You know, obviously that's not the lineup that's working best for them against Milwaukee right now. I need to see more Gallinari out there, truthfully. And Cam Reddish can do a lot on the offensive end. I think they need to start throwing Capella out. When Giannis is out and it's Brooks playing the spread, you got to put Gallinari in there. Gallinari can guard Brook Lopez down there on the three-point line. It's just a matter of needing some help down in the paint. But I need to see more offense out of Atlanta. They need to play catch-up. They can't think we're going to defend Milwaukee. They're never going to. But all that to be said, impressive game by Milwaukee. I just love that ball movement. I just loved watching that. It looked like a college team. Looked like a really good college team. Defense, pass it around the perimeter, and if there's a jump shot to be had, hey, they love the mid-range. I'm not mad at a team that loves the mid-range. So Milwaukee still looks dangerous, but, man, I think if they don't get Giannis back, it's going to be a tough sled.
Well, that's a given. I agree with you. I don't think that you can walk into that eventual, hopefully, a Phoenix series where you're on the road. Also, additionally, you factor in the travel, you factor in, you know, what's that knee look like on game day? How do you feel? Could be a game time decision for the first 3-4 games, which would not be good because these games against Phoenix are not going to be easy for any team. But I will say that that's the thing, though. I think Atlanta's stuck with Clint Capella because Brook Lopez showed last night he's 7 feet. He's 260, 270. Please just camp out down there. No one's going to stop you. I like that we now have the Bobby Portis option, who also, keep in mind, one player that I'll give a lot of credit to, Bobby freaking Portis, Arkansas Razorback, former Nick, former Bull, you know, had all those stories with knocking guys in the jaw, Nikola Mirotic. But Bobby Portis, when we signed him this offseason, I didn't obviously expect this, and I'm not going to sit here and say that I did, but looking at his Twitter, looking at his social media, after almost every game that he didn't play against the Nets, because he didn't play really at all against the Nets, it was almost unbelievable how little he played. Everyday work, ain't nothing going to be easy. Go take it. Stay locked in. Blessed. Nobody's going to feel sorry for you out there. Get up and go get it. Stay locked in. He was always, and there would be videos of him even after a Nets game, staying 2 hours after getting shots up. All that to be said, the heart is there, and he's a perfect example of a Milwaukee Buck. But the thing that I like most about it is now, even if we have Giannis, but then Bobby Portis slides in maybe in the second unit or keeps starting, which I'll get to in a second, you put Bobby Portis on the perimeter, a guy who's 6'9", 6'10", who can move a little bit better than Brook Lopez, who can guard on the perimeter, but also play inside, get to the rim and drive, and you have Lopez literally set up camp, a bonfire down on the block, and just let him go to work because there's no reason for him to leave. I get that he can shoot. He's Splash Mountain now. Yeah, sure. But no, he should be Finger Roll Mountain. He should be Dunk Mountain. I mean, this is not even fair. When you put Capella on him, Capella can't guard him. Brook Lopez is so painfully slow when he does those little, you know, pump fake and swing through, draw a foul, or maybe try and do a little floater off the glass. But when he's on, he showed it last night. I don't think we're going to get another 30-point game from Brook Lopez. But the fact that it's there makes Clint Capella play on his toes. That's what I'm saying.
No, I think you're right. And I think where I get interested in if Giannis is out for the next series, I don't want to talk too much about the next series. I know we'll talk more about it. But in this series, with the way Atlanta's lineup is set up, right, with Capella being out there, I think Brook Lopez and Bobby Portis out there is no problem. Because like you said, Bobby Portis can guard the perimeter. He can stay out there on a Gallinari or something who's in there. He can even, you know, play his hand defending some of the guards. I mean, he's got quick enough feet. He can obviously guard a John Collins, who plays a similar game, right? Physical, enforcer. Not a great, great outside shooting game, but it's there. It's manageable. You know, you got to pay attention to it. It's a good matchup. Where I get worried is if they do make it through this round and play a Phoenix, where Phoenix plays so small, so quick, so much at the perimeter. Brook Lopez, as you just mentioned, so slow, right? Him and Capella is like a speed comparison. It's not a comparison when you're playing against DeAndre Ayton. And that's where I don't think having Lopez and Portis out there is going to benefit you later on. Getting through this series, I think absolutely. And I think game six, it should be those two setting the pace. And then Middleton, Jrue Holiday, you know, even a Bryn Forbes off the bench closing the show with offense. I think that's what we're looking at game six. Because like you said, Portis has so many roles he can play in this series, in this lineup. If Giannis comes back, I think it's a perfect matchup against Phoenix. I really do. He carries the speed to be able to stay with them. If he's not in there, Brook Lopez is going to be a guy whose minutes might have to be watched, similar to how Bobby Portis's minutes were watched against Brooklyn, because it just wasn't the best matchup. So I'm interested to see that in game six, just as interested as I am to see it in the finals if they play Phoenix.
Real quickly, before we get into Phoenix, I do want to say, I'm glad you mentioned it. If we meaning Milwaukee, if Milwaukee ends up winning this series, I think they match up perfectly with Phoenix. And that may just be me just excited that we're in the finals, potentially. It's not there yet. But obviously Chris Paul is going to be guarded by Jrue Holiday, and he might expend all of his energy just guarding him. Middleton and Devin Booker is going to be a fun matchup, I believe, if we get to that. And honestly, it might sound crazy. I'd say put Bobby Portis at the four, put him against Jay Crowder. Giannis, put him at the five and play him against DeAndre Ayton. I'm telling you. I think that'd be most effective. It would allow Giannis to stay pretty much, I wouldn't say camped out, but, you know, relatively close near the rim, not sprinting around the perimeter, guarding guys all night. Allow him to have some energy on offense, some pop, be able to run the floor. And Mikal Bridges, that's the thing too. I would say maybe have Bobby Portis rotate between Jay Crowder and Mikal Bridges. And whoever starts, whether it's, you know, Pat Connaughton, whether it's any of these guys for the Bucks, PJ Tucker. I can't forget about PJ Tucker. Put him on Jay Crowder and then put Bobby Portis on Mikal Bridges. I think that's a great matchup. But we have to obviously give the flowers to the Western Conference champions, the Phoenix Suns. What was joked about is the bright future Suns, the bright now Suns, literally. A 130-103 victory on Wednesday night against the Clippers in Game 6 in L.A. And how fitting was it for Chris Paul, Danny? Literally, I say this a lot, but could not find a better definition of exercising your demons against your former team. A team that was highly regarded. We remember the Chris Paul Lob City days with Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, Matt Barnes, all these guys, J.J. Redick, Jamal Crawford, this fun team. And now, Chris Paul never makes a Western Conference Finals with them. Comes close, blows a 3-1 lead, I believe, to the Rockets. Now, in Phoenix, a team that wasn't even supposed to be here, according to the experts, quote unquote, and now they're in the NBA Finals. How?
It's crazy to me, honestly, because it's not like we're surprised about this, right? We did say on the last podcast, this is exactly what would happen. Chris Paul would go back to LA. He'd put his foot down. He'd put his stamp on that freaking court. I mean, to the point where he drove one of those lousy LA Clippers to literally push him over. Like, that's how much.
Glad you mentioned this.
That's how much he was in their head, right? Talk about real estate. Real estate in LA. Probably physical real estate, where his house is just going up from when he played in the Clippers, and real estate in Pat Beverly's head. But for Chris Paul to be able to go back and do that, honestly, Chris Paul has been one of those guys where I've been very skeptical of him for a very long time, because I just haven't seen him get it done. And I've seen him get put in situation after situation where he was set up to get it done. The right coach, the right roster, and there was always an excuse for him. There was always something. There was always something that's the reason he didn't get there. It was never him. It was never him not coming up big. It was never anything. So to see him right now, part of me is like, you know what, finally, because now everybody who put him in their top five, which, you know, it's hard for me to argue. Just longevity and statistics and productivity, it's hard to argue he's a top five point guard all time. It's crazy. I think number five is where he sits. I don't think there's an argument he's above that. But to see him be at number five, to finally make a finals. If Giannis is obviously out for max, I mean, two games. If he's out for two games, I'm calling the Phoenix has to be the big favorite to win the NBA Finals. Now, let's see, right? Because I said as soon as Phoenix beat LA, right? LA was my pick to make the final. As soon as Phoenix beat LA, I said, well, the winner of this series is making it to the finals. Granted, my pick way long ago was Bucks versus Lakers. So I'm still hoping it's Bucks versus Suns because the Suns, in my eyes, is just as good as the Lakers because I knew that that was going to be the series. And the Suns have just showed what we were saying since the beginning of the season. It's no fluke. Like when you show up after a break like they did in the bubble with no Chris Paul and you show up that hungry, that ready to play, a coach who looks like every single day was watching film, players every single day were in the park playing 5-on-5, 3-on-3s. Like that's what they looked like in the bubble. And everybody glossed over it. We glossed over it a little bit, but we knew there was something there. Then all of a sudden they get Chris Paul. They add a couple pieces, you know, Torrey Craig, guys like this. All of a sudden, all season long, they keep that up. And we were saying, you know what? We got to see it from Utah. Utah's that team where you have to see it to believe it. Phoenix has Chris Paul. That's the difference. If he can step up, he can play well, they can make the finals. And that's exactly what happened. And to be honest, Donnie, there's not a team I like watching more in the playoffs than Phoenix. They move the ball so well. Their defense, I love how they just filled with wing defenders. Like all of a sudden, Devin Booker is a reasonable defender. Jay Crowder, great defender. Mikal Bridges, great defender. Chris Paul gets his hand in every situation, takes charges, you know, goes over, goes under screens. They're just fun to watch. They're so fun to watch. I really do think they are the story of the NBA season this year. Like, they're the story. As much as Milwaukee's been super impressive, beating Brooklyn, like, that series was the series of the season, but the Suns are the story of the season. I mean, for them to win, for Chris Paul to get a championship, how good would that be? Am I going to be cheering for them to win a championship in the finals? Probably not. Probably not. But it's going to be hard for me to cheer for either, right? Because as I mentioned to you, I've got loyalties to one player and one team. And so, you know, as long as they're not in the finals, it's hard for me to cheer, but I'm sure as hell going to enjoy it. Because granted, you said you think it's a good matchup, but what you had in there is Giannis playing, right? Giannis being in there, I think you're right. And I think I mentioned that is Giannis being in there brings that speed to be able to stick with Aiden. And I love what you say about him not needing to run all around because Aiden is not a spread three. Like Aiden's not going to be – or a spread five, sorry. He's not going to be shooting threes. He's going to be down in the paint trying to rebound. Giannis can take defensive possessions off probably 40, 50% of the time. However, if he's not playing, that's when I feel there's a problem because, you know, and you said put Chris Middleton with Devin Booker like in matchup. I hope you mean offensively because there's no way they shouldn't have PJ Tucker on Devin Booker trying to beat Devin Booker up. He's just coming out of a series where he has a broken nose. If there's a guy to go put the paws on you, as they say, it's going to be PJ Tucker. P.J. Tucker's got to start that series off beating up Devin Booker. You need to leave Devin Booker where he's at because right now he's shooting about 40%, almost sub-40 some games. And if you think that's going to stay, crazy. It's only going to stay if he feels beat up, if he's got to get, you know, they got to attack him the first half of game one, game two, game three, get him in foul trouble, beat him up because that, in my opinion, is the way you beat this team because Jrue Holiday right now is the best guy to guard Chris Paul. People can talk about Pat Beverly all they want. He's just too mentally weak. Jrue Holiday is as mentally strong as they can be. He's big. He's thick. He can stay on Chris Paul. That's the matchup. So Chris Paul is going to get slowed down compared to what he was in the last two series, for sure. I think the matchup that's going to decide how good this series is, truthfully, because I think those four guys kind of get each other out, is the defensive productivity of PJ and Bobby Portis versus Crowder and Mikal Bridges. Because all four of those guys can play some defense. All four of those guys can kind of guard three positions or so. That, for me, is Jay Crowder's three-point shooting versus P.J. Tucker getting a few threes. Obviously, Crowder shoots more, I know. But I'm just saying, like, their effectiveness and effectivity on the defensive end, for me, is going to be one of the biggest deciding factors. That's what I'm going to be watching all that series if Milwaukee makes it through. Obviously, we're talking once again like they're going to make it through easily.
If they do, that's
the matchup I'm wanting to see.
That's really what worries me because we did that with our last episode. We pretty much already saying, oh, Bucks in five, easy. This one could easily go seven. I wouldn't be shocked. And I wanted to also mention to you too. I know I mentioned this before we got on the air. I follow a lot of Bucks Twitter, and I saw a thread that I don't know if it was a, I think it was a fan that said that they ran into PJ Tucker at a wing place in Milwaukee, just randomly. And according to this tweet, it said, I talked to PJ, no BS. And then someone even responded and said, no, this is real. I heard this conversation because I was in the store. But I'm like, all right, well, you could easily just say that. But anyways, it makes sense to hear this. Apparently, Giannis was pushing to play last night. Wow. But the doctors were saying, you're not going to play until at least a game seven. Or in this case, a game one of the NBA finals. So if we can just sneak out of Atlanta tomorrow night, just walk in there, you know, put a bag on Atlanta's head and take everything and leave, Giannis will be there for the finals. I don't think there is a situation where he misses any time in the NBA finals. I was saying this, and I would have said this if he would have gone down with a more serious injury. Unbiased, there could not be a better guy overall in the NBA than him. Believe me, not to get too serious, but not to get like too deep either, but it's the truth. The story and the upbringing that he had, and being that it's so close to at least my heart and my family, because we understand that culture. We, you know, we're Greek. We have family that lives in Greece. I met him in Greece, for God's sakes. We understand it and how faithful he is to that country that honestly neglected him until he was, you know, known, because he was never allowed to have citizenship. And then once he was, you know, this hot commodity, once they figured out he was going to be drafted, they ended up, you know, saying, oh, he's our boy. So another instance of, oh, you only wanted me because I'm big. But the stories that you hear about him, the personal story that I have with him, could not be a better guy. So if that injury would have happened, I probably would have been a shell of myself, because even Bill Simmons, I think, said it. He looked like he was in that LeBron level of health. Nothing could get this guy down. Nothing can break him. Nothing can physically like derail him. But when he yelled after that knee injury, was on the ground, you saw Thanasis on the court, putting his hands over his head, like, oh my God, oh my God. My heart was being literally thrown up and down against the wall. But all that to be said, Giannis will play in the NBA Finals if he gets there. I'll just say that. Game six, though, in Atlanta. This is huge. This is huge. Does Trae Young play? That's the thing. If he plays, I'm scared to death, because we might lose by 20. Because it's going to be in the A. All the celebrities are going to be there. It's going to be a packed house. They're going to be wicked loud like they were, I believe, in game three. Or game four. And just like that, it's going to be a tie series going back to Milwaukee. But in that case, what do you see happening? What do you think is more likely? The Hawks winning game six or Giannis playing in game seven? There you go.
I mean, I think what's more likely is Giannis playing in a game seven that I don't believe is going to happen, because I do think Trae Young is one of those guys, plays on rhythm, like so much, man. Quick first step, crossing a guy up to get space. It's similar to Steph, right? You know, you remember when Steph had his ankle injury and he just half second slower around the screen, half second slower on the crossover step back, and he'd get a shot blocked, he'd get fouled, and his rhythm was ruined, and his shooting percentage went down. I think that's going to be what we'd see from Trae Young if he came back. I really do. I mean, he missed, what, game four and game five. So we're talking a week off since he's played. I don't see him coming back and looking any different than he did in game seven against Philly, which, let's be clear, wasn't good. Philly lost that game themselves. Atlanta did not take that game seven at all. Did Atlanta take game six? Yes. But did they take it? Or no. Yeah. Did they take game seven? No. Philly handed it to them. And so I think that's what's going to happen in game six. If Trae comes back to play, they're going to need something really special out of him to win that game. Because it looked like the Bucks figured out what the way with this lineup was to beat Atlanta. And it was working the ball through Brook Lopez down there, tiring out their bigs, and seeing what happens from there. So I think what's more likely would be Giannis playing in a game seven, but I don't believe the game seven is going to happen. I think even if Trae comes back, I think Milwaukee kind of figured it out. I think they can win game six. I think your prediction, as per usual, Bucks and six will work out. I really did think Bucks and five for sure until I saw what the Bucks looked like in game four. I mean, like, the Hawks looked good, but the Bucks were like, all right, it's fine, 2-2, we'll go back. We got home court advantage, whatever. I'm like, well, then I got worried for Milwaukee. Then what did Milwaukee do? They come back, no Giannis, play an unbelievable game five. So, to be honest, my predictions probably don't mean much anymore, but I do predict Milwaukee gets it done in game six. And I think if that's true, if that story is all true about Giannis, the best thing for Milwaukee is to win game six and get 3 days, or I think it's at least two, if not three, but if Giannis is out, another 4 days to come back to get ready for game one. That's the best possible thing because the Bucks need to win one game in Phoenix way more than they would need to win this game in Atlanta. So they have to understand they need to have the urgency to win this game in Atlanta to give him that extra day so they can come back and be fully healthy, ready to go game one in Phoenix. So I think they're going to have that urgency. I see them winning. I guess it would be what, tomorrow night, game six?
It'd be tomorrow night.
I say Bucks win that game. I really
okay.
do.
I want to touch on it real quick because my dad actually has been saying to me, you guys aren't talking about shoes anymore. And I'm like, well, we've got a lot on our plate with the playoffs, but Giannis just released his signature shoe, the Zoom Freak 3. I just sent it to you. If you haven't seen it, I'm sure you have. And I think it looks really good. It does look more of like a hybrid of a Paul George / Kevin Durant early edition shoe. But can I also say PJ Tucker was the first guy to wear this on court, not even Giannis. Are we kidding here? Are we kidding? Also, the pregame shoes PJ Tucker wears, why do we even expect anything less anymore? It's not even fair how many shoes he has.
No, I mean, PJ Tucker, honestly, there is no comparison. There's absolutely no comparison. And that's the level of, I think, like swag, respect. I mean, he is the shoe king. There's nobody even close because Giannis would never have let anybody else do that. Right. Like that's how you, it's almost like, you know, if a person puts out a shirt or a shoe, it's like, I could release this and they'll have a few people look at it. But if I put like an Instagram model in that shirt, like a lot more people are going to see it. Right. Like that's the marketing idea coming. I think Giannis knows that. I think,
of course.
I mean, PJ Tucker just had his new shoe coming out, his own collab, and it's not even a sports shoe, which is hilarious to me. I believe it's what did I send it to you? It's Louis Vuitton.
It is a Louis Vuitton. Yeah. Dolce like, Gabbana. I'm sorry.
Dolce Gabbana. Sorry. How crazy is that? PJ's like shoe now that he's the sneaker king. We always talked about this on every sneaker podcast. Who's going to be the one? Who's going to lock him down? But he loves wearing whatever he wants. What is his first shoe deal? Dolce & Gabbana off-court shoe. I mean, PJ has all of the NBA at his feet. I mean, that's what it is right now. At this point, he should be debuting every new shoe. Every new shoe that comes out, he should be able to debut. Trae Young's new shoe, Zion's new shoe. He should just be able to debut them all, give them a rating. I mean, who wouldn't listen to a PJ Tucker sneaker rating podcast? If he came on and rated everybody's sneaker, come on. Everybody's subscribing to that. Every sneakerhead is watching that. So pretty crazy. Yeah, no, I looked at them. They're beautiful. I mean, the colors are great as they always are. They do look scary a lot like a Paul George, especially the first one. I have a pair of the first Paul Georges. They're very similar silhouette. But let's be honest, how creative can you be with the silhouette of a basketball shoe? You got to support the ankle. You got to support the feet. There's just a few things you have to do. You know, in lifestyle sneakers, we all know Jordan 1s, they look great. Do they feel great after 6 hours of walking on them? No, they do not. Neither do Air Forces, right? That's part of it. But that's for show. That's for the beauty. That's for the fashion. Basketball shoes are strictly for utility, and they look like they do the job. So I'm excited to see the new colorways coming out. Man, if he releases like a peach colorway in that, you know, like they have the Peach Jam KDs? If he releases like a Peach Jam Giannis, I might have to pick those up.
Well, now that we're getting into an age where people are vaccinated and we can start playing pickup again and not really thinking twice, I've got my Zoom Freak 1s, but those are now considered old. So I might need to scoop a pair of either the 2s if they're on sale, get a pair of the Zoom Freak 3s now, debut them on a rec court. But yeah, I laugh too.
I've got my my Converse All-Star BBs, the Shea Gilgeous's, just waiting.
Danny, we've got to go. That's one thing I have to say too. I haven't seen you play basketball yet, and that's concerning because I want to see if I can – bring you along if I need four guys to play 5-on-5 with me. I need to see if you make the cut.
I'll tell you right now, if I can get a three-pointer back, because that was me, right? You know, you talk about what's my favorite position in basketball. Everybody knows it's a wing that can play some defense. Why? Because that's what I was. But when I was young, I played point guard. When I got to actually good teams, I was just a wing and defender type of guy. I was Jay Crowder. You know, I was that type of guy. I was physical, bodied guy, shut you down, get in your ear, and then I hit some threes from the corner. I wasn't more of a corner guy. Like, you know, you talk about the short corner. I was more the elbow type of three-pointer guy. That's where you could hit me. I'd make it every time. But, yeah, don't worry. You can bring me along. At least to shut down a guy defensively. But I'll make a few open threes. I'll make them think I can't shoot, and I'll just knock them down.
I need that. I need that. I like it. Man, this is turning out to be one of the craziest NBA playoffs. And I say craziest because we might have a NBA Finals article come out just in general news on July 4th.
Yeah.
Previewing the NBA Finals. Are we kidding here? Crazy. I mean, it doesn't make sense. And I hope that once, you know, we start the season on time this year and then we go through it again next year, these guys finally have an offseason to actually enjoy. This year it's going to be pressed against the wall unless you, you know, didn't make the playoffs, which, you know, now you've just been chilling in Cancun. But, you know, hopefully everything works out. I want to say one real quick thing to close. I was actually talking to Emily, my girlfriend, before we got on, and she made me laugh, and it made me sit back and think, man, we do these podcasts so often. And I was telling her about, we're supposed to have a game here in Syracuse tonight. One of our, NYCBL teams are playing, of course, and it's a away game, quote unquote, but it's just two teams in Syracuse that play in the same location, here at the college I'm staying at in Onondaga. So, we're the away team tonight, so I don't have to get there until, like, you know, 5 o'clock, 5:15, first pitch at 7. And I looked at the forecast and said, oh, it's supposed to rain and thunderstorm. I don't know if we're going to play. And I said, maybe we'll have to postpone. And she said, you're not going to cancel? I said, well, yeah, cancel, but we're going to have to play it again. And she goes, can't you just assume who's going to win and then move on? And just the pure the pure comedy in that. And not even that it was intentional. And that's the thing. She killed me. And I sat there and I laughed. I looked down. I said, I'm going to say that on the podcast because that just puts in a perspective, man. Sports are fun. But at the end of the day, it's like, can't we just assume who's going to win? And that's it. We're doing the extra. We're going the extra mile here, Danny. We're talking. It's, you know, Friday morning. You're working. I've got stuff to do. But you know what? We're on here. We're breaking it down. But can't we just assume that the Bucks are going to win game six?
I mean, that's the beauty of sports, huh? God bless it. I mean, that's, I think, my favorite part about sports is that if we assumed, you know that they say, what happens when you assume, you make an ass out of you and me. So there is no assuming. That's why they played the game. Emily, I love that idea. Trust me, because if I could just assume what was going to happen, I would just assume that all my favorite teams are going to win all the time, and that's what would happen. But yeah, unfortunately, it doesn't happen.
You're right.
So here we are. But yeah, I want to say one thing, right? You talked about sure. Close. I want to say one thing that I think is interesting that I want to leave on the brains of our listeners. Donnie just mentioned shortened off season, come back quick to the season like we did last year. You see that there's new teams moving forward, moving to the finals. All I want to say is all my NBA fans out there listening, Donnie, I want you to think about this as well. As of right now, bringing in mind the shortened break, bringing in mind the fact that there are teams, like you said, in Cancun, taking breaks, getting fit, getting healthy, maybe certain guys on the team riding their boat around a lot. Who's the team right now that teams in the playoffs right now are most worried about for next year? Because in my opinion, there's only one answer. Because there's a team that's going to get healthy. There's a team that's got picks to move pieces. There's a team that's going to have a complete lineup next year. There's a team who's got a center who's going to be not a rookie anymore. I think there's one team that every single team right now in the playoffs is thinking, they're looking over their back shoulder thinking, I really hope that team in the Bay is not fully healthy come next season, because talk about a scary team come first game. I'm telling you, Golden State, I guarantee it. You hear me right now. Guarantee it. Barring another catastrophic injury. Geez, I want to knock on wood. And obviously, that's a part of sports. Barring a catastrophic injury, Golden State's a top three seed next year. You heard it here.
Top three?
You heard it.
Okay. I don't even want to say much because I want that to be on our listeners' minds. I don't know, man. I will say that one of my short corner articles that I'm currently drafting should release today at some point, by the way, features three teams that you should keep an eye on during the NBA draft.
Ooh, I like that.
And there may be a team that you just mentioned that might be in that article. I'm not sure. I'll have to go back and do some research, but they do. I think that team does hold two of the top 16 picks. Two of the top 14, you're right. So, I don't know. Something might happen out there in the Bay. But all that to be said, enjoy the NBA playoffs. They're going to come to an end before you know it. Enjoy the Olympics, too. Enjoy the WNBA. Enjoy the lead up to college basketball. We can't wait. Enjoy the NBA draft. It's all going to come so fast. And July is now here. We're halfway done through 2021, and we're rolling. Episode 75 with Danny and Donnie, with Kicking It with Danny and Donnie, is in the books. Peace.